DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Every so often here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, it does occur to me that maybe I'm not talking about something as much as I should. You know, we obviously have a lot of time to talk about Georgia football, and over the course of an offseason, you know, doing this an hour a day, every single day, you'd think we sort of hit every subject imaginable and as many times as it could be hit. But every now and then it does sort of pop up in my mind of, you know what, maybe I'm not quite giving enough attention to something. And believe it or not, it sort of occurred to me today, really more like last night I was thinking about this, but taking it into this morning when I woke up as well, it sort of occurred to me that, you know what, I may not be talking enough about Georgia running back DeAndre Swift. And the reason why I think I'm probably guilty of overlooking Swift, and probably it's wrong to say I'm overlooking Swift, obviously I'm not. I know how much of a focal point he's going to be for the Georgia offense. I think in defense of me, though, when it comes to not talking enough about Swift, I think I have treated Swift as a bit of a given. You know he's going to be the starting running back. You know he's going to be probably very good. As I said, kind of a centerpiece of that Georgia offense. There's a lot of knowns when it comes to DeAndre Swift carrying the ball for Georgia this season, and I probably admittedly have been a bit more fascinated by the unique situation involving the other four running backs, two veterans, Elijah Holyfield, Brian Herrien, two guys that I both think can be very good, but haven't really had their chance yet at Georgia, haven't really gotten on the field to do the stuff that they believe they're capable of. Both those guys competing against two very good-looking hotshot freshmen, Zamir White, James Cook, two of the top five running backs in the country for the 2018 signing class. So I'm probably over-fascinated by the other four, and that has left me to sort of maybe ignore DeAndre Swift a bit too much. So today that changes. Today we give attention where it's due on the likely starting running back for UGA, the guy that's likely to get the first carry of the season for the Georgia Bulldogs, DeAndre Swift. And the reason why we do that is because with SEC Media Days concluding in downtown Atlanta this week, there was an interesting statement made by the SEC Network's own Greg McElroy, who, when they were doing that SEC Now show, which is like their version of Game Day, they were doing it from outside downtown Atlanta on Sunday. They had that like fan fest type thing going on at the Centennial Olympic Park. SEC Now was there. McElroy was talking about DeAndre Swift. Let me show you the quote on the screen here, or if you're listening, I'll read it to you, of McElroy actually doing his part to maybe tout DeAndre Swift for the Heisman. Here's what McElroy says. DeAndre Swift, because of the touches I expect him to get, look, I know Holyfield's there, and they'll probably use Mecole Hardman, Zamir White. He's a highly touted freshman coming in, but he's coming off the ACL experience last fall. Greg McElroy then goes on to say, I think that DeAndre Swift is going to get the numbers and the touches to get a legitimate Heisman Trophy campaign. Now, before that on the TV broadcast, McElroy sort of also referenced the fact that this is a quarterback's award. He says, if it's not a quarterback's award, I would look at a guy like DeAndre Swift this season, and Greg McElroy just gave you all those reasons why there from the SEC Network on Sunday. And I will admit that it's kind of interesting to see Swift and Heisman in the same sentence. I mean, after all, I don't think it's that big of a leap to say that a guy that was impressive to Kirby Smart in his first season at Georgia, now with an expanded role in his second season, could indeed be that kind of guy. I mean, I do expect Georgia to throw the ball a good bit more here in 2018, but not so much more that there aren't going to be plenty of carries to go around for a guy like DeAndre Swift. And when we sit here from the vantage point of the middle of July, knowing that Georgia practice for 2018 is getting ready to start in a couple of weeks now, it's probably also important to look back on the 2017 season and realize just how much confidence Smart seemed to have in Swift for the entirety of the year. You know, you had Chubb and Michelle that were going to get the most attention and probably get the most credit for the Georgia running game last season. But in the midst of all of that, Kirby Smart liked a lot of what he saw from DeAndre Swift. Let me go back to the week before the Notre Dame game as an example. Here is Swift getting ready to play. At the time, it was just his second college game. And at the time, Kirby Smart already knew that Swift was a guy that he felt like he could depend on. Here's Kirby from September.
Well, he's a talented player. He's very smart, very mature. He actually reminds me in demeanor of Andrew Thomas. Very businesslike. Both of them went to great academic institutions. Both of them won state championships in high school. They're very serious about their performance. And I think that's the kind of overriding factor that allows them to play early in their college careers, because they're very calm in the moment.
That bumping and banging you hear is not me. That's Kirby Smart banging on his own podium. He has a tendency to do that a lot during his press conferences. That is him doing that there. So second week of the season, Kirby Smart was already impressed with the demeanor of DeAndre Swift. Not overwhelmed by the moment last year, but cool and comfortable and confident they could step in and play. And by the way, that also began for Kirby when it comes to Swift before the season even started, because the following week, before Georgia got ready to play Samford, you know, Kirby Smart said he knew back in camp, even when DeAndre was a little bit banged up, that this was a guy that they had a lot of plans to play in the 2017 season. Here is Kirby once again on DeAndre.
He's a very mature kid. He picks it up the first time. He doesn't need two reps. He understands the game. He's got great instincts, great hands. I mean, you can put him in the slot. You can put him in the backfield. You can put him on kickoff coverage. You can do anything with the guy, and he kind of gets it. That's why when he was injured earlier in camp, we wanted to get him fixed. We knew he was going to be a player. He didn't need the reps. He needed to be healthy to play.
And, of course, as the season progressed, DeAndre Swift progressed as well, and Kirby Smart's opinion of Swift evolved even more and more confident became. Let's go later on in the year after the Missouri game, a dominant win for Georgia at home, and once again an opportunity for Kirby Smart to like what he saw in his freshman running back.
DeAndre Swift continues to be a great change-up asset to our offense, catching the ball in the backfield, running the ball, and he's a hard worker. And, yeah, I thought he did a better job tonight of picking up pressure on third down.
So he catches the ball. He's obviously good running the football, and he's picking up blockers on third down. What's not to like about DeAndre Swift? And at this point in time, all of this conversation is fairly elementary. Yes, the starting running back for Georgia is likely a Heisman contender. It's probably not that big of a surprise that Greg McElroy from the SEC Network said as much on TV on Sunday. And obviously there were a lot of examples in which Kirby Smart sort of saw reasons to validate the hype that Swift had gotten coming out of high school in his freshman season of 2017. But where the conversation kind of gets interesting is with something else that Greg McElroy said about DeAndre Swift from the SEC Network. While all of this so far is sort of the typical praise you'd expect from a starting Georgia running back, what McElroy apparently quotes a unnamed Georgia staffer as saying is not necessarily the sort of typical praise. If you don't mind, I want to read you a little bit here. The website Saturday Down South quotes McElroy on TV on Sunday as saying this about DeAndre Swift. McElroy says, "I've met with some Georgia people before the Georgia Tech game, and someone on their staff said the best player on the team wore number 7. McElroy wanted some clarification on that, and the person then says, "No, number 7, meaning DeAndre Swift, is the best player on this team. He can play anywhere," the Georgia staffer says. "Receiver, running back, fullback, quarterback, he could even play on the defensive side of the ball." So that's an unnamed Georgia staffer being quoted by Greg McElroy on TV on Sunday. So when McElroy says he expects DeAndre Swift to make a Heisman run, this is not just his own opinion here. He's not just spouting off the sort of hot take stuff that, you know, TV people typically do here. He's, I guess, in some form or fashion, apparently basing this on some really intense praise that someone on the Georgia staff gave him before the end of last season. Now, that's obviously pretty interesting, and maybe there's a slight exaggeration here. I mean, I don't know that Greg McElroy truly thinks that DeAndre Swift could actually play quarterback for Georgia, but it's interesting that the folks around Swift a year ago thought enough of him to sort of let it rip like that in talking to an SEC Network analyst. And I think for the most part, Georgia fans, when they've seen Swift on the field, would say, yeah, I mean, there is an element of that I sort of agree with as well. I mean, the athleticism is pretty impressive here. We all remember the touchdown he scored to put the SEC championship game on ice. That was a really, really nice thing to think about, and potentially a foreshadowing for what could happen here in 2018. I mean, listen, for me, the bottom line on the entire discussion is, as I said off the top of the show, I probably have treated Swift too much as a given and maybe even taken him for granted too much, focusing on the full depth that Georgia has here at running back. I'm obviously really excited to potentially see Zamir White. I am curious to find out how Elijah Holyfield does when he gets more opportunities to carry the football here in 2018. But McElroy on the SEC Network Sunday serves as a pretty good reminder that the best running back on this team is likely still DeAndre Swift, and he could be so good that he gets a lot of national attention here coming up this fall. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and we're glad you're with us no matter how you get to us today. Watching us live on video at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube page, Dog Nation Twitter feed. Good to have you with us there. Live on video at 10, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form on Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcast player there as part of the Android devices, SoundCloud, the world-famous DogNation.com, wherever you go for Dog Nation Daily. Thanks for being with us, and thanks to Marco's Pizza for a couple of things here. First of all, for being nice enough to partner with us for Dog Nation Daily each and every day. And thank you for giving us a great, great offer. Because there's nothing I love more than pizza. But the thing that I really love the most is pizza at an affordable price here. And I mean authentic Italian quality pizza. The kind that you can only get from my friends at Marco's Pizza. Two medium, two topping pizzas right now for just $6.99 each. Listen, you got a few more weekends of summer here, especially for those of you who have young kids. You got pool time. You got to play golf, all the stuff that you got to do this summer here. When you're on the go that quick, you want a great meal and you want it at a great price. Marco's Pizza provides it every store, every day, the Italian way. Go to marcos.com. You can find out how you can take advantage of this offer, two medium, two topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Hello, Primo. That's what we say around here with Marco's Pizza, and that offer makes it a whole lot easier to do that. We'll have Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. So I start the show with a little conversation there about something that someone was saying. Very complimentary of a Georgia player with the DeAndre Swift, the Georgia running back. How about a snub here for a moment? And maybe I'm reaching a bit on this, but I have to admit, I'm a little aggravated by this, I guess. The Biletnikoff Award is the award at the end of the season for the nation's top wide receiver. They put out their watch list, and there are about 50 names on this list. There's a guy from Marshall. There's a guy from East Carolina, a guy from Wake Forest, Tulane, Louisiana Monroe. There's a Georgia State player on here, UMass player, Buffalo player. There are like 50 wide receivers on the, quote, watch list for the Biletnikoff Award. Let me tell you who's not on here for a moment. Georgia wide receiver Terry Godwin. Now, that doesn't prohibit him from winning the award. You don't have to be on the watch list to win the award. Everyone's eligible for the award. But doesn't it feel a little bit like a snub that Godwin's not even on the watch list? I mean, I think it sort of speaks to the fact that it would certainly appear that he's a bit overlooked here. If he's not even one of the guys they're saying watch, watch a guy from Buffalo or a guy from Louisiana Monroe over Georgia's Terry Godwin, that seems to, that seems to be a bit of a misstep on the part of the Biletnikoff Award. And many of you all know I do have my questions and concerns about the Georgia wide receiver core, but I certainly believe that Terry Godwin is an outstanding player. And even if he misses out on national awards, I think he's going to do some big things for Georgia this season. I mean, we all remember, by the way, the great catch that he made in the Notre Dame game back in 2017 that really became one of the all-time great highlights in Georgia football history. And if you want to go back to the spring, Kirby Smart said that kind of play that you saw Godwin make there that day, that's the kind of thing that he's seen Godwin do his entire life, seemingly suggesting there's more of that to come in 2018. Here is Kirby reminding us what we all like about Terry Godwin.
Terry's been doing that since eighth grade. I still remember him at 7-on-7 camp in Alabama in the eighth grade. He came out there and played corner and was giving up plays, and there was about eight guys from Callaway High School that were jumping all over him when he was an eighth grader, and he's a little peanut, and he's grown from that to ninth to tenth to he was a dominant player in high school outside on the perimeter. When they threw the ball up, he makes plays on the ball. He has elite ball skills. I think he's working at a high level. He really pushes the unit and leads that unit with work ethic. That's really what we need. We need out of that group for him to do that. But he makes a lot of plays on the ball.
Now, you hear Kirby Smart saying something nice about his receiver there. You may say, well, what else would Kirby Smart say? I mean, he's going to say good things about his players. It's important to remember, though, that there has been quite an evolution for Kirby Smart when it comes to Terry Godwin. The kind of effusive praise that Smart throws out right there, that hasn't always been the case when it comes to Terry Godwin's evaluation by Kirby Smart. I mean publicly, by the way. Kirby's publicly been tough on Terry Godwin before, going back years ago. In fact, if you want to go back to about this time a year ago, Smart admitted as much that over the course of time, he's been pretty tough on Terry. Here is Kirby again.
I'll be the first to tell you that, I was hard on Terry last year. Terry has grown up. Terry is competitive. He's had some of the best practices, I thought, in the scrimmage. Looking back, somebody had asked me who stood out. I didn't really think at the time until I watched the tape. Terry really played well in scrimmage as far as depth of routes, running routes, catching the ball, making plays, blocking people. And a lot of that was from outside. It wasn't just inside. So he can play inside, and he does great with it. But he's become more valuable to us outside. I mean value as far as vertical threat, just catching the ball. He's very consistent in what he does. And I mean, he made a couple of plays out there today that you start seeing the guys is really becoming the guy that we expect him to become.
I love it when Kirby Smart's as candid as he is right there, when he gives us both the good – this past spring and maybe the admittedly bad a year ago, talking about the ways in which Terry Godwin's grown as a player. That's really interesting insight that Kirby Smart's kind enough to give us from time to time on a guy like Terry Godwin. I think that's really interesting. And I think when you see Kirby Smart's opinion evolve over time for the better when it comes to Terry Godwin, I think it makes it all the more silly that Godwin doesn't show up on the Biletnikoff Award watch list. Obviously watch lists aren't a big deal, but that is certainly a case of Godwin possibly being overlooked to the detriment of the people who put the award together. All right, it's Dog Nation Daily. Time now for our Kroger Click List Checklist. This is the time on the show every single day, every single week, when we check in on some of the things happening around Dog Nation. And really, there's probably over the course of the next 48 hours or so, there's only one thing for you to kind of keep in mind here. The SEC Network coming up midnight on Monday as we show you the Kroger Click List checklist here. The SEC Network going to do its UGA takeover coming up on Monday. That's 24 hours of old Georgia games and Georgia programming there on the SEC Network. So if you're looking for a bit of a football fix or just a Georgia fix here in the dead of summer, the SEC Network going to give that to you starting midnight Sunday night, sort of lasting all day on Monday. It's our Kroger Click List checklist here on Dog Nation Daily. And speaking of Kroger, they remind you that Kroger's school supply giveaway is going to go on right now for educators. You've got four locations throughout the month of July in Atlanta. It's Macon and Augusta as well. Just bring your valid school ID to the location that's near you to receive one bag of school supplies. For more information, visit your local Atlanta Kroger store. So check that out and find out how you can be a part of that. And speaking of being a part of things, it's great to have Jeff Sintel a part of our show right now. In fact, hope you enjoy it right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
As I get ready to say hello to Jeff Sintel here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza today, let me also remind you that you can actually see Jeff on Saturday, a part of WSB Georgia Bulldogs game day there on Channel 2 in Atlanta. If you live in the Atlanta area, make sure you check out WSB game day. It comes up at 10 a.m. this Sunday. Plenty more previews of the 2018 season, and also Jeff Sintel breaking down the latest on UGA recruiting. It's all this Saturday at 10 on WSB Channel 2 for WSB Game Day. Jeff, happy Friday to you. Thanks for being a part of our program. And let me also say this to get the pleasantries out of the way here. It was your birthday this week. I feel terrible. I saw some people on Twitter wishing you a happy birthday. I was not among the throngs of people doing that, not aware of the fact that it was your birthday. So let me at least publicly right now say happy birthday to you.
Hey, Brandon. I do appreciate it. And, man, hey, everybody can chime in on Facebook or Twitter, but when the Daily recognizes your birth year on his program, that is something else entirely. I do appreciate it, sir, but, man, it is really humbling, man, to get all this recognition for just doing the job that I feel it's a privilege to do. So I just want to show my appreciation to everybody out there for noticing it was some hack reporter's birthday on Twitter and also on Facebook.
Hard to believe you're 55 years old, Jeff. You don't look that old.
Veggie pizza, Brandon. I'm telling you, that's the pot. That's Marco's Pizza, man. It's found the Ponce de Leon. You need to order that one, and it will make you look like you're 35 in perpetuity.
Well said, Jeff. And by the way, for those of you listening, Jeff is not 55 years old. That's just me giving him some grief. All right, speaking of giving you grief, I got to give you grief about this, too, because, listen, as a fan, and you know, Jeff, I come from the perspective of a fan on this show, I had sort of made peace with the possibility that, hey, maybe D'Angelo Gibbs is not back playing for Georgia this fall. And then I read your quotes from J.R. Reed, Gibbs' cousin, from this past week at SEC Media Days, and all of a sudden now I guess my hopes kind of get back up a little bit. Obviously, you know, I thought that J.R. Reed struck a hopeful tone in what he told you about Gibbs, and I know that Kirby Smart's going to have a little bit different narrative when it comes to some of that kind of stuff. But, you know, admittedly, it's very hard for me to figure out where this D'Angelo Gibbs story is going, given some of the things that Kirby Smart has said in the past. I'll go back to early in the summer in Columbus when, you know, Smart, you know, it seemed to insinuate he had a long way to go, to kind of the stuff that we're hearing as of late. What do you make of what J.R. Reed told you? Obviously, he's got a vested interest here, given the fact of his family connection to D'Angelo Gibbs. This is a little bit of a complicated story. What do you make about it at all?
Yeah, probably, Ben. This is one of those things that can be surmised, maybe by saying the truth is somewhere right in the middle. Everybody knows that Kirby on Media Day said that both Natress Patrick and D'Angelo Gibbs were on the team, working hard, and they were on the team. And then JR basically did something that you would expect family to do. He would have his cousins back. But one thing I thought was interesting and probably worth reporting was that, you know, not only is the cousin supporting D'Angelo and he's propping him up, saying, I think, you know, saying all the right things, basically, he should say, JR actually moved him not into contributor, functioning member, hardworking guy on the team, but he elevated his kind of outlook on D'Angelo to him contending for an open starting position. I mean, you know, one of those things that you got to remember is Georgia graduated three members out of the secondary that started in the playoff: Aaron Davis, Malcolm Parrish, Dominic Sanders. So there's a lot of opportunity there for Georgia, despite, you know, what all everybody thinks to think about this guy's designated here, this guy projects here, it's going to be this guy, it's going to be that guy. Got to remember, D'Angelo Gibbs, if he is the D'Angelo Gibbs he was projected to be coming out of high school, remember, he was a five-star at three different positions, athlete, cornerback, and safety. If he is what D'Angelo Gibbs was coming out of high school, he was right up there with all the marquee signees in the 2017 class, Andrew Thomas, Jake Fromm, DeAndre Swift, and even a pair of guys that are expected to get their turn this year in Richard LeCount III and Isaiah Wilson. Tremendous potential with D'Lo, and definitely you see here what his family members think he can still be at Georgia.
I thought some of the other quotes that you got this week, or at least in referencing in a piece that you wrote for DogNation.com, is what Jonathan Ledbetter had to say about Jordan Davis. And, Jeff, you know the drill here. Sometimes we get too fixated on four- and five-star names. We have a tendency to sort of disregard the three-star names. Georgia obviously has a huge need at the defensive line position. It sounds like Ledbetter thinks that one day Davis might really be one of those guys that could do that. He's pretty impressed with the physical specs that Davis brings to the table. What did you make of Ledbetter's praise of Jordan Davis?
Yeah, you know what's funny? Ledbetter, side note here, I've got a prediction for him. I think he'll have a great year. But I think he has probably definitely moved into that leader role on the team, especially on the defense. A lot of respect for John Ledbetter and the journey he's made at Georgia. The backstory is there with what he suffered through and overcame at Georgia, but also he's just a tremendous player. If you saw the way he came on at the end of last season, he was a force for the Bulldogs on the defensive line. And with Ledbetter, I thought it was very interesting. Very well-spoken guy. Probably going to be the best quote on the team this year. And I just thought that he said, now we're not going to talk about any of these freshmen. Every one of those guys are scratching and clawing and working. And then maybe, I don't know, 15 breaths later, he said, but I got to bring up Jordan Davis. And not just because he was on an offensive line, he was a fellow defensive lineman, but because, let's just be simple here, Jordan Davis is a walking mass of humanity. When you see him in person, you're going to think maybe you want to come up with some D&D daily nickname for him, like the walking eclipse or something like that. But when he said that part about him having five plates on each side, and Brandon, I know the power lifter that you are, you know immediately that that's 490 pounds. And the way he treated those like marshmallows, it was a very descriptive quote at that. But that just shows you, Jordan Davis, maybe the three-star, might be one of those guys that is already turning the most heads right now in Athens, just because he's simply a specimen, and you don't see a lot of guys like him, even in the big boy trenches of the SEC.
So here's what I will tell you, Jeff. I can do five plates easily. But by saying that, I mean at the all-you-can-eat buffet and not in any kind of weight room. I know a lot about five plates, but maybe not the same kind of five plates that Ledbetter's talking about there.
Brandon, it's probably five plates of Marco's Pizza or five plates at Marlowe's Tavern, something like that. We can put those away in short order, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right, looks like based on what I saw on Twitter, you spent some time this week with the junior college defensive back, DJ Daniel, who is quickly becoming quite the fan favorite. In fact, from your Twitter, we've got some video of Daniel showing off his speed here on the 40-yard dash. The folks are watching. You'll see Daniel putting the sprint together there. First of all, I guess let me do a couple things with you, Jeff, on this. What do you make of what Daniel brings to the table from an athletic standpoint? And boy, it seems like this relationship between he and UJ getting pretty cozy here. You want to reveal some details about some of this?
Well, we just posted a story up on Dog Nation right now, and Daniel says, and here are kind of the things everybody wants to lean into their mobile device or laptop to learn about. Number one, he's close to a decision, but he can't make it right now. He said that the semester school's about to let out for the summer at GMC, and that will give him kind of the mental clarity to just sit down, make the decision. He's going to pray about it. He's going to talk to a lot of the members, of his family, and they're going to help him make that decision. He is strongly considering attending the reveal. That's just what everybody's going to call it now, Georgia's reveal of the new locker room and facilities on July the 28th. And then he's also physically, Brandon, he's bigger than I thought he was. He's 188. He's well over 6 feet. He says he's been his wingspan, which is really, there's a picture of it on DogNation.com right now. The wingspan for him as a cornerback is really, really something to take a look at. He says that Georgia is not just recruiting him as a want, you know, like another elite. He's the nation's number two junior college corner, as not just another elite prospect to kind of throw into the secondary room. He says that Georgia makes it clear, and that's Dan Lanning, Kirby Smart, Mel Tucker, the support staffers, Nick Williams, and Bakari Rambo. They make him feel like he is a need and not just a want. And the simple fact, the simple reason why, is when you take a junior college player, you expect that guy to play right away because you've got 2 years, not like some cases with the freshmen where they have 3 or 4 years to develop. And they simply, you know, Georgia, very interesting. Burt Williams, the head coach at Georgia Military College, told me that Georgia wasn't in the business of taking a junior college cornerback. They didn't want to take a guy that would only have 2 years in the program, considering what they already had on the field. But then they saw Daniel. And then Daniel changed their mind.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, for me, it comes down to if he's a true 6 feet, if he can be, by the time he gets to Georgia, sort of a true 200 pounds, and, you know, showing the speed off that he showed right there, I mean, how could you not want that? I mean, I just think that Georgia has kind of gotten in some trouble in the past with some of the guys that either maybe didn't quite have the speed or didn't quite have the size. But for Daniel, and yes, it's not the full 4 years on campus, or in some cases it would be 3 years on campus, but if he really is bringing that size and that speed in sort of the same package, I believe I'd have to move in that direction if I was Kirby Smart.
Yeah, it sounds like he's trying to move in that direction. And you know, the other thing, Brandon, those 40s, that was on grass that hasn't been cut since Monday. That's pretty slow track at GMC anyway. And these were hand times, let's be clear on that. Two watches. But the average was 4.40 on the first and 4.42 on the second. And it's really funny, on the second, you see him kind of lean into the line and he didn't run through it. So, I mean, if that guy just got coached up a little bit more on the ending of his 40, that one right there would have likely been a sub 4.4 in the 4.38 range, something like that, 4.38, 4.39 range. So the kid is pretty fast enough, and it's a junior college guy out of the metro area in Griffin. Spalding High School. Nick Davis does a very great job with that program. And it really sounds to me like, Brandon, it's Georgia, South Carolina, and Kentucky that are really in the mix there. And Kentucky's really in the mix for the reason a lot of people don't know. And that's his older brother, Niall Daniel, was a prospect in his own right. And he was at one time committed to Kentucky before he went into the junior college ranks. So DJ Daniel, the first college program, the first SEC venue he saw and was awed by was Kentucky, and Kentucky's recruiting him hard as well. And that's one school that's maybe the dark horse a little bit in his recruiting with everything we got going on right now as well.
You mentioned the July 28th reveal for the West End Zone and the brand-new recruiting facility there. As you might imagine, I have a lot of reveal-related questions that I want to squeeze in before we're done here. Let me do one more thing off that topic, though, before we get to that. There has been some internet chatter as of late, message board type stuff, about Nolan Smith trying to do some work with Nathan Pickering, the defensive lineman from Mississippi who's committed currently to Mississippi State. Now, Jeff, I don't mind telling you, I'm going to find the Lost City of Atlantis before I'm going to find an Instagram story. That's not really a technology skill that I necessarily have, but there certainly seems to be some chatter back and forth about that. Is this real? Can Georgia get in on one of these, you know, top-rated defensive linemen committed to a place like Mississippi State, an in-school commit right here? Is this a place where Georgia can do some work?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say this. Instagram's a little not so instant when it comes to Georgia and Nathan Pickering. Now, Nathan Pickering is a Mississippi State commit, but on that story, you know, it's just Nolan Smith doing Nolan things. He said that he's going to give Georgia an official And he said that I think the term was one heck of a recruiter you guys got right there, Nolan, and Nathan was in reference to Nolan Smith right there. I mean, there's a lot of names that are trickling in. The really full list will be fleshed out soon, but, you know, Lewis Sine, the big guy from Texas, tells me he'll be there along with Shedeur Sanders. That's kind of one of the more eyebrowing names that have came across my wheelhouse this week, and Shedeur Sanders is the quarterback, the son of Deion Sanders, who's a highly regarded 2021 quarterback out of Texas. You know, all these big names are going to flow in. You're going to see most of the commitments there. A lot of the key targets, DJ Daniel is considering strongly being there as well. There's a surprise name that's going to be there as well, and I'm just going to stretch that term out, surprise, to maybe make Brandon's mouth water just a little bit.
Come on, Jeff. Are you going to reveal the surprise? Otherwise, we're all going to be on pins and needles now. Are you going to reveal the surprise, or are you going to keep it at pins and needles here?
I didn't say surprise for a reason, sir. And maybe we'll have our reveal on that later on next week.
We should have our reveal before the reveal. That's a great idea. We should do like a story topper reveal here. We're going to reveal the surprise before the reveal. That's a pretty good idea. On the subject of the reveal, by the way, one of the names I sort of have my eye on the most here, you can tell me if this is a sort of a correct evaluation or not. I'm paying close attention to it. I never know if it's Ryan Davis or Ian Davis, but the linebacker Ryan Davis here. When I think of like potential expected guests at the reveal here, Davis is one of the ones that has my attention more than anybody else right now. What do you make of that?
Yeah, lots of names will be there, and I did mention Lewis Cena earlier. But like you know, the other thing I think this reveal will be something unique for Kirby Smart in Georgia. I don't think this will be. You know, Dog Knights are kind of extinct within this program, the way it recruits, I'm sure nobody's going to complain one bit about that. But as far as a grand event where bells and whistles and I think, you know, commitments could happen, I think the likelihood of commitments happening around this reveal are a lot higher for me than what they were maybe in the summer, you know, when those June official visits were happening. And you know, traditionally, Georgia always picks up a couple of commitments in the middle of July anyway. I just think maybe some guys that were thinking about that earlier in the month might decide to make their decision right around the reveal.
That could be very interesting. All right, I hate to do this. It's a Friday. I don't want to be negative, but I do have to at least point out one negative deal here. What is up with the reports out there, the suggestions out there that Jaden Hazelwood's not going to go to the reveal? I guess maybe Miami instead that particular weekend. Now, obviously, a trip to Coral Gables on somebody else's dime, assuming it is an official visit, it's a pretty good deal here. But I guess I'm a little disappointed to find out Hazelwood's not coming to this event that's been touted as sort of the place to be for the weekend. Well, what do you make of Hazelwood not being in Athens on July 28th?
Maybe the headline brand might be Hazelwood decides not to visit the locker room he will be in for 3 years at Georgia. Maybe that's the headline to think about right there with that one. For further details on the Hazelwood stuff, you can go to my Instagram story right now, Brent. I'm just joking with you, buddy, on that one. I just thought that was a good line to throw in there after your Lost City of Atlanta context earlier, but that's kind of what I think about Jaden, man. I mean, that's kind of what I think about Jaden. He's deciding not to visit a locker room. He will spend 3 years in Athens, and hope everybody has seen some of the. It seems like there's a viral clip with Hazelwood every time he steps onto a practice field or does anything on his Instagram stories or Instagram feed. Like I said this earlier around the all that news with Demetrius Robertson coming to Georgia. Demetrius Robertson is a splendid, fantastic, special, likely future first-round receiver. But in my book, I think Jaden Hazelwood is going to be even more special than that.
So I agree with you on that, obviously, and I've seen some of these highlights that have come out of him recently. He makes one-handed catches. Like, I mean, he makes them look so routine. It's beautiful video, all these highlight videos that pop up of him. I guess here's my only Hazelwood-related question. I don't have any doubts about what you said being true, that he's going to see that Georgia locker room plenty, so therefore, you know, what's the point of being there when it opens for the very first time? I guess my only question is, and maybe this is just a simple no from you, and that's fine, but is there someone else that would benefit from Hazelwood being in Athens? You know, a lot of these really big-time five-star guys with magnetic personalities have a little bit of a gravitational pull. You know, is there someone else who could be sort of swayed towards Georgia by Hazelwood being in Athens? I guess that's my only concern. I mean, listen, I don't think that Miami's got the recruiting chops to pull Hazelwood. So I'm not worried about that necessarily, But I guess I would like to think about the thought of, hey, maybe Hazelwood being there makes it more enticing for somebody else to be there and sort of getting caught up in the emotion of the moment. I mean, how would you respond to that?
Well, I just don't think Jaden is that type of guy. I don't think that's the way he goes about his business, the way he is a recruiter. He's not Nolan. And Nolan is probably good enough for 3-5 stars. This is the spot, the way he recruits other guys for Georgia. I just don't think Jaden is necessary, and I don't know, maybe I think some of the folks on our message board forums have even offered up or proffered up the hope that really Jaden is just going down to Miami to work on some South Florida DBs for the class or something like that. I just think Jaden earned his trip. I mean, who would really want to turn down a trip to Miami,
sure,
especially to get a chance there? And he's going to take his 5 official visits. I think, you know, the schools to really worry about with Jaden Hazelwood, I don't, if you even want to start chewing your fingernails on something like that or anybody out there, I don't think Miami's the school to worry about that one, worry about there at all, if someone was to worry about Hazelwood in any other program besides Georgia.
Fair enough, Jeff. It's always good to have in the program.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really, really good stuff there with Jeff Sintel. Always, always, always love his insight, both in terms of when it's good news, he's the first to report it. When there's something to think about, he's also kind of the first to report that. I love him as an asset right here for us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. He really, really brings it and brings it well. All right, let me transition here to our SEC Through here. A lot of stuff happening around the SEC that I find to be pretty fascinating. And, you know, when the Aaron Murray, Jeremy Pruitt dust-up happened, there was a lot of Alabama folks who sort of rushed to the defense of Jeremy Pruitt on the issue of, like, an assistant coach being disrespectful, as if that was the kind of thing that Alabama fans had no way of understanding. And yet, if you really look at the situation with Nick Saban, there is a former Saban assistant who I think is also, in maybe a very different way, maybe a little guilty of what could be viewed as disrespect when it comes to a Nick Saban. I'm talking about the former offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin, now head coach at UCF, or I should say at FAU. And Brett McMurphy had an interesting tweet about Kiffin's thoughts on the Alabama quarterback situation. Kiffin writes here is, and I lost my, good Lord, these pop-up ads are outrageous. A Brett McMurphy tweet here says that Lane Kiffin told me about the quarterback situation. Nick Saban's going to do with Alabama. He says, quote, he's going to play both of them the opener so one doesn't leave. That's Brett McMurphy quoting Lane Kiffin about Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts. I saw that on the internet somewhere. And, I mean, listen, what else could that be but a certain degree of disrespect from Kiffin to say that Nick Saban is so calculated that he is going to try to orchestrate some way to play them both so therefore one doesn't leave. Now, the honest truth is that's probably exactly what is going to happen when it comes to Nick Saban. That's what he's going to try to do anyway. But the fact that Kiffin gives voice to this, I do think sort of subtly undermines Nick Saban just a bit. I mean, I said this the other day, that one of the things that I think that Nick Saban is very aware of right now is how the perception of his handling of this quarterback situation goes. At this point in time, he may be less worried about Jalen Hurts than he is how people sort of view him treating Jalen Hurts. And he wants to be seen as the kind of guy that other quarterbacks want to come play for in the years to come here. When Lane Kiffin says what he says to Brett McMurphy, and Lane Kiffin knows what he's doing here, he's just sort of planting that seed of doubt of, is Nick Saban a person that can be trusted? I mean, if anyone would know that, it's Lane Kiffin. He was right there with him, sort of learning from Saban on some of this kind of stuff. And tweets like this, I do think they are, you know, to use Aaron Murray's word about Jeremy Pruitt, somewhat disrespectful, in that I do think it serves to sort of kind of undermine what Nick Saban brings to the table in this situation. I think that's really, really fascinating here. Another thing to mention here, Bud Elliott is a writer for Tomahawk Nation. It's SB Nation Florida State blog, and obviously the folks that read Tomahawk Nation are no fans of the Florida Gators, and so Bud Elliott threw a little red meat their way. I think Georgia fans are going to like this as well. You want an example of how Dan Mullen's recruitment at Florida not getting off to the most rip-roaring start here for the 2019 class? Bud Elliott reports that Florida's decommitments would actually rank higher than its current commitments would. Here are Florida's current commits, according to Bud Elliott. They've got 11. They've got no five stars, four stars, and seven three stars. That's a total of 37 stars for an average of 3.4 stars per player for Florida's 11 commits thus far. The decommits, though, that Dan Mullen has suffered, a five-star, five four-stars, and three stars. The average ranking of those decommits is 3.8. So what Florida has lost from its program under Dan Mullen has sort of been greater than what it's gained in its program here so far. Sort of a statistical piece of evidence that points to the problems that Florida's having in recruiting right now. It's kind of interesting to hear. Now, maybe also not the most unbiased source, TomahawkNation.com, much like here at Dog Nation Daily. We revel in bad news for the Gators. Maybe the folks at Tomahawk Nation do too. But those numbers speak for themselves. Florida's issue under Mullen is so far the same as it was under Jim McElwain, just not bringing in enough elite talent. And the longer that continues to be the case, the easier things are going to be for Georgia in the SEC East. Changing gears here, this is quite fascinating. The writer's name is from the Chattanooga Free Press. It is a columnist there by the name of Jay Greason. He's a writer for the Chattanooga Free Press. And what he lets us know in a recent column is whispers already about some discord between Jeremy Pruitt and athletic director Philip Fulmer. I predicted this many times that it would happen. I don't know that the Greason column here in the Chattanooga Times Free Press indicates this for sure, but what he writes is certainly interesting. He says, there are whispers out of Knoxville that the hard-charging Jeremy Pruitt and new athletic director Philip Fulmer are not exactly seeing eye to eye as both feel their way in the new roles. Maybe growing pains, he says, are to be expected. So a writer in Chattanooga hearing whispers about Pruitt and Fulmer already not getting along with each other, I can't confirm nor deny that, but it won't surprise me if that eventually does happen here. Going back to what Aaron Murray questioned Pruitt on earlier in the week, does he have the demeanor? Can he be the CEO-style head coach? And it's also probably fair to ask as a Pruitt defender here, can he actually be the CEO with a guy like Philip Fulmer, who maybe has a bit of an affection for the spotlight and control and power himself? I think this is an unusual dynamic at Tennessee, and it is certainly one to watch coming up. Let me squeeze in one more story here. I saw where it was interesting that Jarrett Stidham at SEC Media Days this week talked about the fact that when he left Baylor, that he actually wanted to go to Texas A&M, at least a little bit. The quote here from Stidham, this is the Houston Chronicle that has it, honestly, I probably recruited myself to Texas A&M a little bit harder than they recruited me. I didn't talk to Kevin Sumlin very much, but I talked to Noel Mazzonia a bit more. If that ends up being an indication that A&M wasn't that interested in Jarrett Stidham, I think that ends up being a huge mistake. I think that Stidham, for those SEC West teams have to face him week in and week out, and for Georgia that plays him in November, I think that's a pretty tough battle here this season still. Y'all know that a year ago I thought that Stidham was going to come in and make an impact for Auburn. Didn't happen as much at the very beginning of the season, but by the second sort of two-thirds of the year, Stidham became a really good quarterback, and I think that's true once again in 2018 as well. And for now, we will make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, I told you a little earlier as part of our Kroger click list checklist that going down, starting on Sunday night at midnight, heading all throughout the next 24 hours, it's an SEC network takeover by Georgia. They've done this every year now for a few years. All the SEC teams get their day, and they show some of the old football games, old sporting events, and it's just sort of a time to sort of catch up on some cool old stuff. Some of those SEC Network documentaries that feature Georgia, they're shown as well. And so today for our Dog Day Q&A, and I'm going to try to take a lot of questions and comments on this, both here during our podcast and then when the video show comes to an end, what is an old Georgia game that you'd like to see? Whether it be an old football game involving Herschel Walker, whether it be, you know, for me, it's some of the non-football stuff that I'm sort of curious about. I'd love to hear from you about some old UGA games that you either enjoy watching when they are on, which you get to see more of. That'll be a fun subject today for our Dog Day Q&A. We'll take a lot of comments on that. I will tell you that sometimes I'm fascinated by some of these broadcast for even games that Georgia didn't win, which obviously won't be shown on the SEC Network Takeover. That'll mostly, I'm assuming, be just good news for Georgia. But sometimes the 76 Sugar Bowl comes on ESPN Classic. I'm fascinated by that, what Georgia looked like before I was born, what Georgia fans looked like, how they dressed, seeing Ray Goff as a player who was really a phenomenal player, much better than I realized when I was a kid growing up and he was the Georgia coach. Some of that kind of stuff is really fascinating to me. You can hit us up on that for our Dog Day Q&A. Matt Rukavina says, we're going to be rewatching the – he says, I'm rewatching the Rose Bowl right now, B.A. Matt says, we've been live tweeting it here. That's kind of cool. Matt says, rewatching the Rose Bowl. I do think that's one of those things that, you know, on any list of games that Georgia fans go back and rewatch over and over again, if the 1980 Georgia-Florida game was that before – I would imagine that the Rose Bowl is now that more so than anything else. It's just sort of a confluence of too many perfect events. A huge win for Georgia, a hallowed stadium, incredible environment. And, I mean, even the Rose Bowl folks will tell you this, and they've seen some really good games, whether it be the Vince Young USC Rose Bowl after, in the 2005 National Championship or whatever else. The Penn State USC game from the year before had been really good. The Rose Bowl folks will tell you that Georgia-Oklahoma game ranks right up there with the best Rose Bowls of all time. So, yeah, I would imagine, I'm assuming that's a part of the SEC Network takeover for UGA. And I would imagine for a lot of Georgia fans, that's about as good as it gets when it comes to the rewatch there. Let me also pull up the YouTube comments. We'll get a couple of those here as well. James Crump referencing the 1980 Georgia-Tennessee game. That's another one that's sort of fun to see. And anytime I watch a game like that, and I haven't seen that game, I don't guess, in a long time, I'm always interested in watching the game before the big moment happens, right? You know, if you watch the 2001 Georgia-Tennessee game, before you get to the call that everybody remembers, or the play that everybody remembers, I'm sort of fascinated by that, some of that kind of stuff. You know, from the perspective of history, us knowing what they didn't know yet back then, I always think that's really, really interesting. Over here on YouTube, I'll say hello and get a couple comments here from Dan Riggins, who says, I just watched the 89 Gator Bowl because it was mentioned on Dog Nation Daily recently, and it was a blast, Vince Dooley's last game. Dan, that's really cool, and that is, I would imagine, a pretty fun game to go back and rewatch. That Georgia team actually was a pretty fun team to watch as well, and we appreciate you catching up on that memory right here on our Dog Nation Daily. All right, we will take a lot more of your comments on this subject as the video show rolls on here in just a moment. Before that, though, let me get ready to wrap up our regular broadcast, both for our radio and our podcast audience, with the way we always do, our Gatorator Countdown. We mentioned 1980 Georgia-Florida before, one of the great memories that Georgia fans have in that series. We think more memories will be added to that list coming up this fall, 99 days from right now. We're now double digits away from the cocktail party. That's kind of a cool thing to think about. Georgia goes back to Florida, wins again in Jacksonville. It's our Gatorator Countdown. We do that every day right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. I will also say that one of the things I'm looking forward to this weekend is watching a little British Open. Some of y'all like golf, some of you don't. Kevin Kisner off to a great start yesterday, the round one leader. I'm doing this show like 10 a.m. Friday morning. I haven't seen how he's performed so far in round two, but I'll love following Kisner, the other former dogs there in the British Open, and just the rest of the golf in general. So y'all watch that. We'll see you Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily.